New life. Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. One more song. A brother mentioned it, and we should know it. We used to sing it all the time. We haven't sang it in years, but we're going to sing it now. There's overcomers in the Bible. How many feels like an overcomer? Well, whether you feel it or not, you're an overcomer. It's better felt and telt to say over here, but praise God. We're overcomers, praise God. Let's sing this to the Lord this morning before we come to the Word of God. Then God bless everyone, praise God. There are overcomers in the Bible. No overcame inside the ark. Overcomers never walk backwards, and Jesus never leaves them in the dark. When the storm clouds gather to lead us astray, we man up with eagle wings and Jesus leads the way. Overcomers never walk backwards. They never take the long way round. They just go straight up and over, and the crisis is beneath them on the ground. David was another overcomer. He didn't face the giant alone. God was right there with him through the crisis, protecting and guiding the stone. When the storm clouds gather to lead us astray, we man up with eagle wings and Jesus leads the way. Overcomers never walk backwards. They never take the long way round. They just go straight up and over. This is beneath them on the ground. Now Jesus was the greatest overcomer. He died and rose again for you and me. Now he lives inside this overcomer, and that assures we have the victory. When the storm clouds gathers to lead us astray, we man up with eagle wings and Jesus leads the way. Overcomers never walk back. Hallelujah! They never take the long way round. They just go straight up and over, and the crisis is beneath them on the ground. Let's bow our head this morning, praise God. And I know there's people here need a touch from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the writer penned it and he said, what a beautiful thought I am thinking concerning a great speckled bird, for I know her name is recorded and the pages of God's holy word. Lord, you're likened to the eagle, and your people's likened to the eagles in the Bible. And Lord, you said, as the eagle stirreth its nest, and Lord, many times you stir our nests, Lord, that we would come out of the nest and unto the rock. And we thank you for the rock this morning, the rock that is higher than I. And Lord, your servant Paul said he drank water from that rock, and that rock was Christ. That rock that followed them through the wilderness when they would have died with thirst, but they drank water from that rock. Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, let the Holy Ghost move in this meeting. Let the Holy Ghost move in your people. Let the Holy Ghost touch your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I curse every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. In Jesus' Jesus' name. And I pray for deliverance and healing in every person in this room. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command chest cones to go, headaches to go, back aches to go, every ache to go, stones to melt, and go in Jesus' name this morning. Let your power come upon your people in Jesus' precious name. Strengthen the sister. Strengthen the brother. Give comfort. Give strength. Help us to line up with wings as eagles. Help us to soar in the heavenly places. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we're looking to you. Where can we go but to the Lord? Lord, your name is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they're safe. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard up against them. Be of good cheer, be of good courage. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you this morning in Jesus' name. Bless your word, Lord, to our hearts. I take the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I recognize the Holy Spirit in this room in the name of Jesus. Let that same Spirit that raised you from the dead quicken our mortal bodies right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Oh God, for the prayers that's prayed in secret, reward openly. Answer prayer, Lord, for you will do it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And the Lord good. Amen. She comes forever beside you and say, you're an overcomer, brother or sister, whoever it is. Glory! Hallelujah, the devil's a liar. Praise God. I'm going to have to get the coat off. It's good to see this man back this morning. Praise God. Fit and fighting well. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm very glad you're saved.
Amen.
I tell you, the devil's a liar. Jesus is the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning. And I want to just talk for a few moments. I'll try not to be long. I want to read from Genesis 4 then, from Hebrews 11. And I won't go too much into Genesis. And my brother Gary's going to be going over Genesis, over the tree of good and knowledge he did the other week. Knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't good and knowledge. It was good and evil. But the brother Gary did it the other Wednesday night, and I really enjoyed it. And he's going to be doing more on that. If you come along, and if you can't come, it's recorded. It's on the omegaministry.co.uk. Go in, listen to messages. And you can get our brother Gary on there doing these messages from Genesis. Then he'd be going as well to preach for Brother Billy in Ava Street over Easter. Pray for Brother Gary. It's a good opening. If God opens the door, go through it. Amen. Amen. Go where the Lord leads. For one soul, the Lord will send a man right round the world.
Amen.
And then tomorrow, me and Brother John, as you know, is off. We really, both of us, appreciate your prayers so much. And we'll be in Adelaide, then we break up, and John goes into America, and I go into Melbourne, then into New Zealand. And we're just trusting the Lord. If one person gets saved, it's all worth it.
Amen.
Praise God, it's worth it. You know, I found some notes the other night when I was getting ready, and this will be the fifth time that I'll be going to Australia. The fifth time, I can't believe it. I went with Brother John one of the times, went by myself one of the times, went with my dad 2014, went with Andrew Beecham 2019, and I found the different books, and I wrote every single service, what I preached on, what the brothers preached on, who could save, who could heal. It's in the book somewhere in my office. I write everything down when I went on them trips, and it's really surprising when you go back over some things and see what the Lord's done. God's done a lot. We need to give him the praise. No man but the Lord Jesus. And some of the trips I had from Africa, and so many testimonies in a little file I found from pastors that give testimonies. And I remember in one of the last services I preached in Uganda, I called for young ministers that felt the call of God to come. Young fellas like Isaac's age and Elijah's age came out, and some of them men as pastors today, successful pastors. One of them wrote to me the other day, and they want me to go over there again to Uganda to do meetings. And even one brother we went to had no church or nothing. He's got a church and everything now built. And I tell you, God's on the move. We think God's not moving, but God is moving. Never limit the Holy One of Israel. Praise God. Let's read this verse 3 of Genesis 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought a fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he brought also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass in the process. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? He was one big liar. And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. Hebrews 11, verse 4, By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He's maybe seated, praise God. We know that God will bless his own word. In Hebrews 12, 24, it says, Unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. I tell you, these two fellas, they're two different natures. Now, I haven't got time to go into it. Brother Gary, I'll maybe cover some of them things. But they're two natures, and if you went to the Epistle of John, chapter 3, it says that not as Cain who was off that wicked one. That's the devil. That's what it tells you Cain was off. Now remember, every one of us before we're born again were children of darkness. And we only become children of light when we get saved. Now when I say children of darkness, it's Ephesians, I'm quoting, And you hath he quickened who were dead and trespasses and sins. Now Jesus doesn't call you children of darkness. Jesus calls you children of light. He says you once were in darkness, but now you're in the light. Walk ye in the light, he says, as I am in the light. But Cain was in darkness, and he had an inspiration from his father, and Abel had an inspiration from his father. I'll tell you that right now. And we know that Cain told lies, and he was a murderer. And the Bible says that the devil is a liar from the beginning. Now we know he's kicked out of heaven for telling lies, but we know that Abel offered the right offering. Cain's offering must have been good, because the Bible says Abel offered more excellent. So Cain's was excellent. Excellent won't do. It's God's will that's needed. Amen? It is the will of God we need to do. You might have an idea. Listen to me this morning, you'll see him. You might have an idea on a situation in your life, but is it the will of God? Is it the will of God? Many years ago, a fella came to me and told me that he'd give me sponsorship of 180 churches. I'd never have to work a day. And there wasn't very many of us, and I was working a job 7 to 7. At that time, fitting windows and preaching the services here. And I'll tell you, like you tell me, what would you have done? You're offered a job. You'll never have to work again. But the Lord gave me a dream all about the same fella. And the same voice that spoke to me in that jail said to me, have nothing to do with them. Then a man of God came to me, spoke in tongues over me, and then interpreted, prophesied. And the prophet said to me, a man come into your service, and he's going to offer you to go, but don't go. It's not the Lord. And he says, don't go. He said, the Lord will have you to go places, but the Lord will make you to know where you have to go. And sure enough, that fella came. And he was a nice fella and a nice family and everything, but it wasn't God's will. We have to know the will of God. And God is a will for you and God is a will for me. And we can be in the permissive will of God. God can still bless us in his permissive will. How do you know that? Because a prophet of God tells us that. He threw a stone up when he's an African and said, I'm now out of the will of God. And people were getting healed in the meetings. And all the preacher said to him, oh, brother, this is wonderful. Look how God's moving. And he says, I know, and that's God's permissive will. What would God have done if we'd have been in his perfect will? And we want to be in God's perfect will. I don't even know how I'm preaching on this from what I'm meant to be preaching on, but I'm preaching on it anyhow. And I'll tell you, all that glitters is not gold. There's the fake. And if God's going to hook you up with somebody, you better know it's the will of God, and you better pray about it and know about it. And God will not unite the saved with the unsaved. That's never God's will. What fellowship of light with darkness? I've said it from the start. None. We're not to have to do that. We're children of the light. We're to walk on the light. Amen? And I know there's great Christians in all these movements, and I'm not denying that. But there's many of them this morning. They have no, they're against what we're believing. They do not believe in divine healing. They don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, any of them things. And they'll ridicule you and me, and I know all about it fine well. I get it regular. Now, there's no way you can walk in a fellowship perfectly with them. It's not going to work. They're not believing what you're believing. But we can walk with those in agreement. And I know if God sends you somewhere, certainly go. If God sends you down to the chapel, go and take the light. Take the light in. But you don't have to be part of them to take the light in. Because you're not part of them. But you can take the light in and let it shine. But it doesn't mean you're part of them. God separates you. Come out from amongst them. And I tell you, there was a separation here right at the beginning in Genesis. There was a mighty separation because one man offered by the head knowledge and another man offered by revelation. Revelation is something that God reveals to you. It belongs to you. You know it's God because God reveals it to you. You're as sure as you're sure about it when God shows you. You know, many years ago, people used to come in prayer lines and ask them for to get the Holy Ghost, and they didn't know if they had the Holy Ghost. What I can tell you, and I know every brother here, and these preachers especially, when you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to know about it. And if you don't know about it, I doubt you ever got it. That's the truth. I'm going to tell you that now. Because you can't stick your hand in a live fire and not know about it. You'd know about it if you put it in the fire. Is that right? You'd know all about it. I tell you, when I got the Holy Ghost, I knew about it. My mother's sitting there, and she can tell you, Mrs. Ogle, next door, Betty knew about it. On the other side, they were Catholics. They knew about it. Because I couldn't stop shouting and hollering. And I tell you, I was excited when I got the Holy Ghost. We had an all-night prayer meeting. Praise God. And I had a boldness I never had before. And I'd go up to people and tell them you're going to get saved and things. And it wasn't me doing it. It was the Holy Spirit doing it. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit's the seal of God. We can see clearly from the scripture, both Cain and Abel, both of them offered to God. Both of them offered to God. But one was wrong and one was right. You need to test everything. It's like these fellas. I tell you, there's false preachers. There's a fella I told you, I can't even mind his name, Evra. I'll give you an example of what this fella looks like. He's long dreadlocks. Number one, the Bible says, a shame for a man of long hair. It's an abomination before God. That's number one. And he's all tattoos. I've got tattoos, but I got them before I got saved. But once you're saved, you don't go back marking your body when you're saved. You're saved now. You're a new creature. You don't do them things no more. But he shows his half and he's proud of him. And he runs about in a pair of shorts doing meetings. And that's me out straight away. I'll just be honest with you right there. Then he lines these women up and he tells them, I'm going to prophesy and get you a husband. And he might do. But they have to give him £1,000 each. And he'll get them a man. He can keep the man. Remember, he's getting them as far as I'm concerned. That's not how God works. That's not God's way. That's a red flag. When you see some sort of a Ricky with dreadlocks and long hair, you should know by the Bible that something's moving wrong. And half them people over there, so see, you see some of them American, them evangelists, them, no, brother, I know brother's black. And don't get me wrong, but some of the African ones, the African evangelists on Sky and all these televisions, half of them's witches. They're actually witches. And if you've the real Holy Ghost, you'll discern it. And we need discernment in the church today like never before. There's a lot of witches in pulpits.
Amen.
That's the truth. We went to a meeting one night, me and some brethren here, and we saw something at the front, and all of us saw it. We didn't need glasses. I'm wearing them, but we wouldn't have needed them. But the pastor never saw it, or the minister never saw it, because he was happy enough. But I wouldn't have been. And I tell you this evening, in Czechoslovakia, the Holy Ghost came and separated me from a group of people, and he brought me to a scripture. The angel of the Lord brought me to this Bible and showed me a suffer a woman not to teach nor stir up authority over the man. It's no scripture for women preaching. I don't believe it. There's nowhere in the Bible. Show me one place for Jesus Christ ordained a woman to be one of the 12 apostles. You cannot do it. Paul said to suffer a woman not to teach nor serve authority over a man. But today, it's common today because we have so many men with no backbone. That's the truth of it now. That's just how it is. And they're afraid to tell it because they'd empty out their chairs. And they've someone up the front half dressed, half naked at the front of the church. And they see nothing wrong with brothers and sisters. That's not how God works. A prophet of God, William Branham, said when he went to Africa, and her brothers know this is the truth, and those women were naked. They were naked. They were naked. But when the Holy Spirit moved in the meeting, they covered themselves. Now, if the Holy Spirit made them women cover themselves, and someone else makes a modern-day woman uncover herself, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. Is that the truth? That's the Bible. And it all started here in Genesis. Now, I believe a woman can have the Holy Ghost. I believe she can operate in any of the nine gifts of spirit. I believe in prophetesses of the Lord. There's prophetesses. How many believes that? Certainly there is. The spirit of prophecy can fall on that can prophesy. Certainly. But there's no such thing as a woman pastor. Don't come that to me. I have no time for that. And I'll tell you in Northland, I don't know why I mention these things. I'm going to mention it anyhow. Is that all right? There's one minister I've seen him, I call him the hub group. Now I'll tell you something, you need to watch that stuff. And he comes down the corridor and every sister he sees, the arms are around her, kissing them and hugging them. Now I'm going to tell you one thing, I can only talk for myself because I'm a man. A red-blooded Brother Branham called a man. There's a sensation when a man kisses a woman's lips because God put it in there. It's in the man. And he's not to kiss no woman, only his wife. And if he starts hugging around other women, it won't belong till adultery's committed. That's just the fact of it. And I don't agree with it. Shaking hands, fine. Two brothers hugging us in the Lord, fine. But men hugging other men's wife and vice versa, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. That's not a success story. That's a story for someone else. I can tell you that right now. And I know what I'm talking about. I know a minister in Africa, and he preached in holiness, and he preached against these things. And you know what they done on him, brother? They sent somebody to his room. Because the convention he's preaching at, every single minister at that convention was living in sin. And they sent someone to his room so that he would fall, but he didn't fall for it. But that's what they wanted to do on him. Like a brother said about Joseph. Joseph was set up with a woman. And a woman is God's gift. A woman's a great thing, but also a woman can be a terrible thing. It's like that car outside. That car's a good job. It'll take you where you're going, but you could use that car this evening and run people over and kill them. It's as lethal as a gun, a car is. It all depends what you do with it. Now, I know why I'm saying these things, but I believe the Holy Ghost must be. Because I didn't plan on any of it, but I've said it now. He can chase me afterwards. Praise God. But the Lord's the truth. Yeah. I'm telling you, make sure you're in the will of God. Don't jump in. I know that over here in Ireland talks about jumping and then looking afterwards. Well, a whole lot of times you do that, you'll get in trouble. You know what the old Indian said to the fella when he was going down to shoot them buffalo way back? He said, we'll look him over many times and we'll walk them once. We'll look them over many times and we'll walk them once. And we'll pick the one we're wanting once. And I tell you, if you wait on the Lord will get you the right thing. Amen? You think God can't do it? God can do anything. Let me tell you this evening, God can do anything. You know, we had Sister Sarah was in the fellowship here. The Holy Spirit prophesied over in Scarborough one Sunday, God's going to bring you a husband from an Orland. Is that the truth? Well, I remember his brother John prophesied it on her. I can remember what it was saying. I was in Norway. Norway. That's nowhere near here. And there's a young man said, can I come and visit you in your room? And I said, certainly, brother. And he come down to visit me in his room and he says, brother, I'm praying about a wife. I says, I know, and I know where she is. Now he went out of my room and he thought I was pulling his leg, but I wasn't. His wife was Sarah. She was over here in Northern Ireland. And he came over and got her and they're married and they've children. I went to England and there's a young man met me in England and he said, I'm looking for a wife. And I said, you should know who your wife is. And he says to me, brother, you're joking. I says, no, I'm serious. Now, I'm not saying God can do that every time. Now, if that's you, it won't work. It has to be God. But God can do that. And I told Sister Samantha when we got back here, I says, I met your husband there when I was over in England. She says, Tommy, don't be doing that. I says, I'm serious. I met him. Here's his phone number. He'd be ringing you. And he rang her. She wasn't having any of it. See, in a week's time, they couldn't get off the phone with each other. They're married and have a family. Is that the truth? God is able to do it. God is able to do it. God can do anything. I tell you, if God can do that, God knows what you're praying about. God also knows if somebody's trying to deceive you. I believe there's somebody and you're trying to be deceived at the minute and the devil's trying to deceive you and you need to watch yourself. And don't go too quick into anything. The Lord will make you to know it. If it's not clear, do nothing. And I believe that's the word of the Lord. I could go further, but I don't want to in the service because everybody knows me and then they'll say, he knows everything about this and that. And that's what happens. See, when me and Brother John go somewhere else and they don't know us, you can operate in things you maybe can't at home because they don't know you and you have freedom. How many understands that? The Bible says a prophet's no honor in his own country, and I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I'm just saying evangelist or pastor, that's it. But this all started here, deception. And a brother mentioned it when he spoke on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was all deception. The devil wanted to convince them different from what God had said. And the devil will convince you, I know the word of God says this, but you'll get away with this. You'll get away with it, but you'll be out of the will of God. You'll be in the permissive will. I want God's will. Who wants God's will? I want God's will. I have prayed for years, the Lord keep me in your will. I'd love to run up a tree. My old grandmother Thompson used to say, I'm going to leave Ireland and go up a tree. Now that's a strange old saying, but I know what you're talking about. I feel like that all the time. But I have to be for God wants me to be. And people say to me, do this and do that, but I have to be for God wants me to be. And if God could send someone like he did and tell the one thing, sure he could do it again. Amen? Here's the key that I'm going to give you, and this is a revelation key from the Word of God. If God ever does one thing one time, he will do it again. The same way every single time. And if a man gets saved one time by calling on the name of the Lord, he'd get saved every single time after it by calling on the name of the Lord. And if the Lord healed a man one time, he can heal a man another time because he never changes. He never changes. He remains the same. We change, he doesn't change. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God could speak to you years ago and I doubt it, you could doubt it. But the Lord will still do it. If he really said it, he'd still do it. Oh, hallelujah. And Abel brought forth the blood sacrifice. He knew the life was in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given unto you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. You know, when God breathed in Adam, he must have put blood in him. Because Adam was made in the dust of the ground and he wasn't living. Then the Bible said God breathed into him and he became a living soul. The breath of God came into him and life came into his body and he was quickened and he lived. You think of it, when Adam was living at the start, there was no death in him. Not until he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was no death in him. He disobeyed God. Now we know he's a type of Christ. So we clearly see that Abel had a word revelation. Are you hearing that? He didn't have a denomination revelation. He didn't have the pastor's revelation or the general overseer's revelation. He had a word revelation. And when God speaks to you, you need a word revelation. And when you've got a word revelation, you can stick everything upon it. It won't move. No matter what comes or goes, it will remain. Why? Because the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not one jot or tittle shall all be fulfilled. Abel had a word revelation. That revelation revealed to Abel was that it had to be blood. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things of the law purged with blood, without the shedding of blood was no remission. And even in Genesis, right in Genesis, right back then, God set a pattern in his Bible that's never changed, and a red scarlet line has run from Genesis the whole way to Revelations. And even Rahab the harlot signified it when she held out that cloth and represented blood. A harlot. But she's numbered with those of faith. But she was a harlot. Because she recognized, she was identified with something. God, you don't have to be identified with church group or denominational group, but you need to be identified with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to get you out of here. That's the only thing that's going to get you into heaven. It's being identified with Jesus Christ. You could be identified as a Baptist. What's that mean? Or a Presbyterian. There's nothing wrong with that. But that past, or even a message believer. That's all right, past. That's a name. But that's not what does it. You need to be identified with Jesus Christ. Somebody could say, I came to the message. Wonderful. God bless you. But when did you come to Christ? I joined the Baptist. Wonderful. Praise God. But when did you join up with Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Almost all things are purged with blood. Now we can clearly see the scripture that the son of the evil one, Cain, wasn't happy. 1 John 3 verse 12. Not as Cain that was off that wicked one, slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. They were evil. Do you ever meet somebody and they won't tell you, Jordy, it's great to see you, brother. The Lord bless you. No. They'll not do that. Where are you going? What are you doing? My wife met a man, and he's a good man. I'm not criticizing him. But he didn't want to hear about me and John, we're going away. He didn't want to hear none of that. All he wanted to tell my wife was what he's doing. And praise God, it's good what he's doing. It's good what he's doing. But God's got lots of people doing things. And the glory must go to Jesus Christ, not to no man. God's got people everywhere. Amen? Ephesians tells us, and you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Cain was a child of disobedience. And if a man or woman is not born again, I don't care if their parents are churchgoers, deacons, elders, preachers, that will make no difference. God has no grandchildren. Only sons and daughters. I have children and I've tried to bring them up right, but they need to get saved and born again of the Holy Ghost. And if they don't get saved, they'll go to hell, just like somebody else that needs to get saved. Now I'm believing for them, I'm claiming them, that God will bring them in, but they need to get saved. My experience won't do for them. They need to have one of their own. And you had to quicken. We were once children of disobedience. Aren't we living in a world of disobedience? Do you not notice? There's no obedience. Our school teachers, our government, there's no obedience. You're not allowed to do anything today. You can call yourself a cat. As a wee boy, you could call yourself a cat and take a litter tray to school and they won't say a word about it. You see, if you'd done that when I was a wee lad, you'd get the cane out over. I'll tell you better than that. Russell used to get up on the chair when he caned me. Boy, he didn't. If he'd have caned me, Norman, I'd have laughed at him. And I did laugh at him when he got in the chair. Even when it took the hand clean off me, I had a pact made with another fella. We wouldn't cry for him, so he beat us the harder. Somebody said, that's terrible. Never done me no harm. I'm still here. The hands are working. That's the truth. What about the scripture says, take the child and spare the rod. What's that, brother? Spare the rod and spoil the child. But no, we've got today. We've juvenile delinquents and we've purged delinquency. Purged delinquency we have. And you're not allowed to do nothing. And all our children's taught, if anything's done to you, here's a number and you can ring it. You can get your dad jail. That's the truth now. And it's out of our hands. That's the God of this evil age that brought that about. You know education's off the devil. How many knows that? I believe it. It's off the devil. When you read that book of Genesis, the great pipes and harps and all that stuff, the devil was ahead of it all. The most beautiful angel in all of heaven. Amen. But God kicked him out. Praise God. You can read these scriptures. Abel being dead, yet speak. Hebrews 4:11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. The offering he brought made him obtain witness he was righteous. Isn't that sound a bit like Abraham? Abraham believed God. Romans 4. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's called the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You say, brother, if I got it, if you're saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, you've got it. You haven't. God hasn't imputed you your sins. He has given you an imputation. That's an. You ever hear these modern preachers and they talk about an impartation? I can't even say it right. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can have Morris anointing or none. I believe Morris was a man of God, by the way. I'm not ridiculing Marcella, but God won't give you Marcella's what he had. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can go to some meet and get some other man's gift. God has a gift for you because you see, his storehouse is far bigger than men think. You cannot outspend it. The fish cannot outdrink the ocean. What little bitty fish eat, and you cannot outspend God. And you don't need more Shrouds anointing or any other minds. You need the Holy Spirit anointing. And you don't need the pastor's anointing either. You need the Holy Ghost anointing. You can get the pastor's what he has. But I wouldn't want you to get what I have. I want you to get what Jesus has. And I don't want what some other man has. We've seen it in all denominations. We've seen it. And I don't know anything. You know what I'm talking about. And you hear the man and you think he's the other man. God don't work like that. He has the original every time. I like Jack Coe because I never seen nobody like that man. He was rugged and ignorant, you know, and some people didn't like him, but God liked him. I'll tell you, God liked him. Amen? Then you have Oral Roberts. He's a totally different man altogether. He was a great man. He was a powerful preacher, different from Jack Coe. Then you have A.L., another great preacher, different again. Every one of them different. And William Branham, different again, all different, but all part of God's work. A fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints, fatifying the body of Christ. This blood spoke from the ground, and we're going to have to do communion. I've talked too much already. The time's gone, and it's warm in here. The heat was on when I came in this morning. I know what was on here last night, but the heat was on this morning. Praise God. We want to leave the fire in here. The Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Hebrews 4, by faith. Faith's a revelation, sovereign personally revealed to you by God. Now let me just give you this quickly. You can read Romans 4, write it down. Romans 4, verse 4 to 6, and Romans 4, verse 13 to 16. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And I tell you, Abraham, what he did was counted for righteousness because he obeyed God. He brought the right thing. Cain didn't. Now let me quickly tell you this, and I know I've preached this before, but you can write this down if you want to. The blood is a voice. Now that blood of the voice back there, Abel's blood, how much more is the blood of Jesus Christ the voice right now? The blood is a loud voice that cries and speaks. The blood is a voice with God's ear. The brother's blood cries unto me. Are the words of God spoke to Cain. He says, your brother's blood is talking to me. It's crying to me. So God heard the voice of blood. The blood cried to God from the ground, the place of the curse, Genesis 3, verse 17. That's where it cried from. Now we're going to see the comparison, the contrast. Then we're going to do communion. Both were shepherds. It's the cry of the shepherd's blood. Jesus is the good shepherd of the scripture. This illustrates his office as priest. John 10, verse 11. I preached it here on Wednesday night. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. This illustrates his office as prophet, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I tell you, some saints have gone on before us that have a crown of glory this morning. Do you realize that? They're wearing a crown of glory. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to get a crown of glory. Abel died a death of violence at the hands of his own relation. That's how he died. Christ died the death of violence at the hands of his own nation. The Jews crucified him. You say, don't know. Well, he's going to appear back to them and he's going to stand before them. And they're going to say, how did you get these wounds in your hand? And he said, in the house of my friends. 1 John 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Put him on the cross. The blood of Abel crying and Almighty God heard it. The blood of Christ cries and God hears it. See, if you ever get in trouble, you just plead the blood. My brother Keith Maltzman preached meetings over in Germany at School of Christ. And I agree with him. I didn't go on to listen to it, but he made a comment, and I absolutely agree with him. He said, when people are really born again, you don't need to cast some devil out of them. Because when the Holy Ghost really comes in, the devil goes. Amen? How many believes that? If you're really born again, you're a new creature. You don't need some sort of a confession booth to confess to some old boy. The Kabachu child, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you the truth this evening. How do you know what he's done? When you come to Jesus Christ, you're working with something that's absolutely pure. But there's none good, no, not one. Thank God we have a real high priest. The blood of Abel cried, the blood of Christ cries. The blood cried from the place of the curse and the thorns, Genesis 3:17. The blood of Christ cried from the thorn stained brow on his head. Now that was a comparison between Christ and Abel. Now we're going to see the contrast. Abel died by force. Christ died a willing sacrifice. Abel died a sacrifice, offering a lamb on the altar. Christ died as the ultimate sacrifice of all ages. Offered up once and for all. The voice of Abel's blood cried to God for the revenge. The voice of Jesus' blood cries for remission. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The blood of Abel polluted the ground. The blood of Christ is preserved in heaven forever. Because it says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly with better sacrifice. All glory to God. The blood of Abel, you could say, was lost. Now I know it cried. Maybe it wasn't lost. Maybe it's not right to say that. But it needed a change, didn't it? Something was going to have to happen. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom. It was on that ground. But the blood of Jesus Christ lives on and shall never lose its power. Hallelujah! Christ's blood is upon the throne of God. I'm closing and we're going to do communion this morning. My blood shall never lose its power, he says, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Christ's blood. I want you, as you take this communion this morning, come reverent, come sincere. You believe as you take it, the Lord will touch you. Then when we've did communion, the brother's going to come and we're going to sing some chorus. If anyone wants prayer, you slip up and me and Brother John will lay hands on you and pray for you. that the Lord will touch you. And Brother Samuel's here as well. Brother Larry. And the meetings will be continuing each week. All these brothers will be continuing on. Brother Samuel will be preaching tonight. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, and not good, we need to judge ourselves. Not someone else, but our own selves. We should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Praise God. The brothers are going to come, Samuel, our deacons. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just lift this bread before you, and we know that it speaks of your body. Pray you'll sanctify everyone. This wine, sanctify. Touch people that they protect. Cover us and wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember every sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.